something about half of the state.
And if the sheriff doesn't show up, we can ask Dan what he said last night at AVAC. But we'll wait. Huh? Oh, yeah. And I'm sure he's talking all about our Fresno Bulldogs. Yeah. I saw the very end of that incident. I saw the girl that was hit in the head and people coming out. Yeah. Yeah. Right in front of the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The strange part was the panic right afterwards, where people like were running to catch the people that did it, and so suddenly this hysteria breaks out. You know what I mean? It was really strange. But all the people involved in it were really young. I mean, they looked to me like 18, maybe even younger. But they got them right down there. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we're not going to have any sheriff here to tell us about that. Just as I was to speak, look at this.
Yep. Right on time?
Right on time, exactly.
Was there anything else?
No, we were speculating on...
So I'm early then.
We were delaying.
No, we didn't delay. It's exactly 7 o'clock right now.
We delayed our early start.
We did. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
President Kelly.
Here.
Vice President Valenius.
Here.
Director Najarian.
Here.
And Director Deweese.
Here.
And by way of introduction, I'd like to introduce Kristen Berry, who is our prospective new board member. If we can talk her into repeating the oath of office.
You spell my name right.
Uh-oh. How do I spell it?
Two I's.
Two I's.
K-R-I-I-S-T.
No, K-R-I-S-T-I-N.
I-N. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I have you in my system wrong, then.
I still pay my water bill, though. You still get it every month.
So what is it? K-R-I-S-T-I-E-I-N. Okay. So the only thing that's wrong is the I.
Just the I.
And how is your name spelled?
K-R-I-S-T-I.
Same way.
There's no N on the end.
Oh, Christy versus Kristen. Okay. I thought maybe we called her Christy, but her real name is Kristen. I never know.
Don't worry, I've got an odd name too.
Yeah, you do. But we all know your name because of the Notre Dame football coach. Any chagrin on your USC family's all right with me. We're Stanford fans, right, Ann?
So, Kristen, if I could, in the past we've had Pete say it and you say it after him, but I think if you just can read that aloud, as far as that's, or maybe you want to read it through yourself, make sure you're okay with it.
Now, where do we have this listed?
Right under the board member's name.
Right after roll call, we thought we'd make it official.
Yep, there it is.
Okay, I, Kristen Berry, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will... well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Director, Avila Beach Community Services Districts, for a term expiring December 2018.
Thank you. You know what?
Okay.
Christy's going to run another one with your name spelled right.
First
to sign it before you die.
There you go.
Well, Christy will run another one.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Okay, public comment. Hey, you guys.
Yes. We want to make sure that we have the right ones.
Well, make sure later. Public comment. Members of the public wishing to comment or bring forward any items concerning district operation which do not appear on tonight's agenda. Do we have any of those?
Seeing none, do we have any information discussion items? None. County reports. The fireman is out fighting fires, so that leaves it up to the sheriff. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, good evening. Commander Jim Bowe from Coast Station. We had a reduction of calls for service from 59 to 73 the month before, which is unusual because it is summer. We've had, example, 5 suspicious subject or suspected criminal act calls as opposed to 9 before. We did have 2 assault with deadly weapons, and I'm sure you're aware of that, and we'll go into it. At least I know one of them. We had 4 vandalisms, we had 3 found children, all were returned to their owners. And we had 0 burglary from vehicles at the Bob Jones Trailhead parking lot. And as I said last night, I would like to take credit for it, but I'm not going to take credit for it because I'm sure, you know, we're really working on that as far as cameras go and as far as vigorous law enforcement. But I think we're a little bit fortunate that the 0 reporting. Just, I was there last night, took some time there, so I think things are going in the right direction, but we will continue our efforts there. 3 disturbance of the peace, we had 5 the month before, so that's kind of bad. Even though there's been a lot of activity on Friday night, school let out, parties, especially on the Dog Beach, the alcohol area there, we've been noticing that, we've been putting deputies down there to try to take care of that, but a lot of activity on the street. So let's talk about, so that's kind of the good news. Let's talk about the not so good news, the concerning news. But it's some gang graffiti painted in black spray paint on the seawall of the staircase leading to the lifeguard tower south of the Avalon Pier. It was Sereno painted graffiti. Sereno, just so you know, there's Norteños and Sereños. Sereños are the southern clique of Hispanic gangs in the state of California. Yes?
That's the east side of the beach. The pier faces due south. Everybody makes that mistake. So where that was painted on was the east end of the beach.
Okay. So not south of the pier then?
No, it would be east of the pier. Right.
Okay. That's why the sunset's over the pier.
Sunsets in the west, the sun rises in the east.
When you're looking at the beach, you're seeing the sunset over to the right.
Well, if you're on the beach and the sun is setting, it would be setting right over the mountains of Port San Luis.
Right.
And if you stayed to see the sun rise, it'd be rising right over what they call Fossil Point. That's the east side of the beach. The other side's the west side.
Okay.
That's north. The pier faces directly south. But everybody makes that mistake.
Because people think the pier goes.
They always think that the beaches run north to south.
Okay, the reason why I bring up the Sereno aspect is because when we had that incident with the Fresno Bulldogs, they aren't Serenos. In fact, they're not really Norteños either. They're the Bulldogs. They come from Fresno. Now, and I don't want to be over-alarming about gang activity because this is a situation where I don't think it's a haven for gang activity at all. I think we get some gang members that occasionally visit the beach here and they do what gang members do and cause problems a lot of times. So that was that type of situation. As you probably know, 2 admitted Fresno gang members, Rodriguez brothers, are taking photographs of themselves in the restroom. We think they're posing with alcohol. Engaged in conversation with a female victim. At one point, one of the gang members felt he was disrespected and confronted the female victim. One of the individuals who were not gang members approached and said, hey, you know, what's going on? There's a confrontation. One gang member slugged the companion of that kind of group. And a fight started. Not a bunch of people, 4 on the gang member side, several others on the other side. It was broken up. The female victim actually started to apologize for a misunderstanding or miscommunication, and one of the Rodriguez brothers picked up a beer bottle and hit her alongside the head, struck her on the side of the head, which caused a concussion. It caused a fracture to her skull and bleeding on the brain. out, good witnesses. Highway Patrol was the first unit that saw the vehicle and stopped them. We responded. Inside the vehicle was found a 38 revolver, five-shot revolver, fully loaded. Admitted gang members, one of them had a $200,000 warrant. Two of them went to jail for assault with a deadly weapon. One went to jail for the $200,000 warrant. And they both got, well, they all three got gang enhancements, which ups the bail. So that was the good thing about that. At least we were able to solve this. It was assault with a deadly weapon with great bodily injury because of the injury sustained by the lady. Good work on the Highway Patrol about stopping them, and our deputies about conducting the investigation. That was on the 16th. On the 17th, completely unrelated, not gang-related, but some Paso, 20-year-old from Paso attending a graduation party by the fire pits when he was suddenly assaulted by several individuals. The reason why he was assaulted, because he allegedly stole a backpack from one of their friends a while ago, and according to him, he made amends to it, but didn't really want to get into the theft of the backpack. But he believes he was hit with brass knuckles and then kicked all the we're still conducting the follow-up, but we do have potential suspects identified on that. On the 18th, a man was seen slashing four tires of a vehicle on Pirates Cove. When you see a vandalism such as that, where one vehicle is singled out and four tires are attacked, it's usually personal. It probably has something to do with the owner of the vehicle instead of just a random act of vandalism. And luckily we had some good witnesses up there. The witnesses were able to provide somewhat of a description of the suspect, which the owner of the vehicle and his girlfriend figured out what it was at that point. We went there and followed up to it, found the suspect, apprehended him, she got a confession from him. So that was a good thing. Felony vandalism, he was booked for that. He priced the tires for that reason. And as you probably know, another kind of a tragedy is a 35-year-old man that fell overboard about a mile or two out from breakwater. He's not been found. The dive team went out to that location. They're unable to conduct a search due to the depth out there. And the investigation continues, but there's no reason to believe that there's any foul play. Just a real tragedy. These were two friends that was a because they're fourth line fishing or something. Guy was in good shape, worked at a gym, Santa Maria, in fact, with the other guy too. So. And that's it. Happy to answer any questions about that. Yes, sir.
You know, I came upon the scene, I was leaving the yacht club. And the woman had already been hit in the head, and her friends or other people were running to her with like napkins and stuff to stop the bleeding. And the victims were Asian, I think.
Right, they were Hmongs.
They were Hmongs.
Right.
Okay, so, and they're from the valley also, right?
Yes, but different parts of the valley.
Right, like Merced or something instead of Fresno?
Yeah, in fact, she was from her Atwater, California.
Which is that there in the valley?
I think it's by the Bay Area somewhere, a little bit inland, isn't it?
No, I think Atwater.
That's down south. Yeah. But each one of them were spread around. I think what they were doing, they were drinking and flirting with them, and she didn't like it or something, maybe made some comment to them. And then, this big thing with gang members, actually, if you walk into the jail, the same thing is. I mean, it belies common sense sometimes, but it's this respect. Well, he didn't respect me, so if you don't respect somebody, it's usually a cause for violence of some type.
Well, now, Serenos and Norteños are prison gangs, right?
They are prison gangs, but they're also a general gang classification. The Serenos are essentially the Mexican Mafia, which was a prison gang that spread out. So it just means Southerners. And the Norteños come from the New West or Familia, which were rural gang members up north, more around San Joaquin Valley and north from there. So the So that's where it goes. But the Bulldogs basically separated and basically control Fresno for the most part of Fresno, and they're pretty vast.
Because I thought that graffiti on the east side of the beach said M13.
MS-13,
I thought was Mara. That's Salvadorian, which is the worst gang in the world. Well, LA to Salvador, back to LA.
Right. Yeah. Mara Salvatrucha.
Yeah.
Is the Salvadorian gang, and they are basically located around our Rampart area down there in LA. Like when I'm on MacArthur Park, a lot of them are on there. And but they go around. But I don't. You know, they didn't put that in the report that I saw. They just said that they brought it to a gang expert and he did identify the Sereno. Now, they might classify MS-13 as Sereno.
Right.
It's really not part of the Mexican Mafia. It's a separate
gang
of Salvadorians.
Right. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
It's okay.
Really appreciate it. More questions?
Yeah, is there a follow-up in terms of particularly of the graffiti?
There's not. There's just somebody that found it. It was a black spray can that was used. They saw some potential suspects. They went over there to talk to them. They claimed they weren't gang members. They figured out and they didn't do it. And according to other witnesses, and they had no black paint on them, so it was nothing.
There's no reason to think that a gang is trying to market New Jersey.
No, it's. I don't want to be too crude. It's kind of like a dog going to an area and the dog does what a dog does, and a gang member will do that at times. It has nothing to do, like, we're not claiming it. And I think when you do see gang, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's particularly in the valley. It's going to get hot. They go to the beach, you know, and they come over, and, you know, I mean, good families do too, and, you know, probably helps the commerce a lot around here too. But you're going to get some gang members too, and, I know one of our shootings about 6 years ago in San Simeon had to do with the Bulldogs who went on a crime spree all the way from Monterey County and came down Highway 1, which is kind of a mistake on Highway 1, as you probably know.
Right.
Not too many exits. But, you know, that's what they do. That's why I encourage, and, you know, this is kind of funny because, you know, the vast majority of 33 years in LAPD, so I'm very familiar with gangs. And, you know, if you said, well, call us if you see a gang, we'd say, I'm sorry, you know, people see gangs every day when they walk out of their house, so, you know, we would be flooded with calls. But here, it's so nice to say, you know, when I get these calls, like suspicious calls, suspicious person, we don't even have to identify the person calling. You see somebody that's tatted up, you know, particularly if you look for any type of gang tattoos, Bulldogs, we usually have the Bulldogs on them. Sometimes you just see a paw on them. They like to put paws on them, and they like to bark too. So,
you know, the gang task force did show up.
Right.
The following farmer's market, there was kind of a presence there.
Right.
And they're a heavy presence.
Yeah. And that was on purpose.
Right.
And that's good because, you know, we found out when, I don't know if you saw it during 4th of July, but we made sure we had bodies out here too. Here, you know, the place I worried about was here. Cambria, because they have fireworks there, and Cayucas is the big part. But you know, I've heard horror stories about a lot of the places on 4th of July, and we all made sure everybody worked that's assigned to Coast, except one guy that was getting married. I let him off, but everybody else worked. And the biggest thing is that you attack minor problems early. You know, the drinking, the drunks, that kind of stuff when it's daylight. And usually larger problems, when they see, you know, we're flying our own gang colors, I guess. We're flying our own flag of being visible. And it got so bad in Cayucas, every time I turn around, you know, there'd be another, you know, deputy standing there. It's just that we were able to saturate. And that's what you have to do. And we had 3 arrests in Cayucas for thousands of people, which is unbelievable. And nobody was on that night. So that was good. And I think things went very well here, too.
So, you know, these suspicious persons, someone right. calls up and says there's a suspicious person?
You said, right.
And it depends on who you are looking at it, right? I mean, someone could listen to all this and go home and see a guy all tattooed up and say, I think it's, and you know, everybody's got tattoos if you go down the beach.
You're right, yeah, but, and it's true. I mean, it's not just a tattooed person, but let's say you were parked on a street that you don't belong on, and a little old lady looks out and says, I don't recognize that car, he's been here, and let's say you don't text message him. I don't know what he's doing, but he's been parked here for a while, and that car's strange. We will send on that.
Uh-huh.
It's nice to live in a county where we will send on that.
Right.
And that's good, because we, you know, because what I do is when I run my statistics here, I pull up, you know, Avalo for the last month, and I look at suspicious person, suspicious vehicle, suspected criminal activity. They're all kind of like the same type of call. And I look, and we have five, and I look next to left of it, and I look for case numbers, and that tells me whether it turned out to be a valid, you know, like an arrest, or we did something. And usually there's nothing. Or I'll find, you know, 1 out of 10 or something. And that's good. That's why, and we don't discourage the people from calling them. Because I think that's why we keep this place, you know, so relatively low on crime. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good service.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Okay. Any more questions for the sheriff? Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Pete, I did have just a couple things on conferences and meetings.
Right.
A couple notes. Again, pitching the ethics training. I think a couple people got it done.
Yeah, I got it done, both of them.
You got it done, both?
Right.
Okay.
Although I didn't print up a receipt, but I know it was completed.
Oh, my God.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, any old the certificate thing?
I'm here. By my printer.
Yeah, we can get that in the file downstairs, and we're golden.
Well, can you pull up my?
I don't think so. They won't give us your password.
It has to be under your password.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could give Christy your password, and she could probably pull it up and
write
the certificate.
You know, you complete the test, and then they say, "Would you like to take a survey?" And so I took the surveys. Okay, but I have a notepad or something that's not connected to my printer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it
doesn't say anywhere, print up your certificate
that I saw. I had the same experience. I was like, when am I going to generate this thing? And eventually it did.
But they don't look for a certificate. They look on their computer in Sacramento to see if it's done, right?
I don't think so.
When I did my ethics and what was the other one?
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, I had to call them to print it because their computer was having a horrible time. They were trying to
the
CSDA, and they helped me. But you have to go to a page where you view your certificate first, and then you can print it. It's not like it just pops up.
It wasn't super intuitive.
It was cumbersome. They were very helpful. They have a good technical department. I talked to them.
So we'll see if we can get it, Pete.
No, okay.
We'll holler at you. And then the other thing, there's an article that Eric pulled out of the LA Times on cost of water. Again, I just made copies of it for folks to read in your spare time. Just a little bit about water.
Okay.
And that's it.
And we all got a copy of that.
I had a little thing of interest in this magazine that you gave us. It said that San Diego is now using their recycled water to brew beer. I thought you might want to take a
look. Yeah. Everybody's brewing beer, I guess.
A standard.
Okay, so moving on to the consent items. You're talking about the Brown Act?
No, well, two things there. The CSDA quarterly meeting.
Right.
Up in Paso Robles.
Right.
Is that in the general report?
That's in the packet.
It's in the packet, okay.
Yeah.
And then also the Brown Act seminar that the port is hosting. And that would be a great one for you, Kristen, if you've got the... got the time. I know you travel quite a bit, but check out those dates and let us know. And
where do I see the dates?
It's at the very last of your packet. Understanding the Brown Act, August 30th, Port St. Louis Harbor District. It looks like this.
It's in the...
I just put it in the last.
Oh, yeah, it's in the last page of the general manager's report, which is...
Do you think it's going to cover more material than we had in the ethics training? I'll sign it for you.
Yeah, they do. I don't know who's doing it. CSDA is sponsoring it. They didn't really say if they're bringing in somebody else.
Well, you know that we have that page on the local CSDA meeting.
Yeah.
Which is, it's in Paso at a vineyard. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Paso at a vineyard. And... oh no, this is the other one. This is about the port thing. Yeah, I got that. No, it's in Paso at a vineyard, and it sounds like it's going to be a real tooth and nail winery, Amor Fati, Room and Terrace. And you get to hear Marshall Slinsky, Jordan Cunningham, John Pichon, Chris Palmer. So if you want to, you know, drink wine and rub elbows with the up-and-coming politicians, it looks like a pretty...
Where's the one at the port?
I give it.
That's
what I just handed you.
Oh, look, look on the back side of that, maybe. There you are.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so those were in the general manager's report, but I just wanted to point those out.
Okay.
If you're interested, just let Christy or I know, and we'll get you signed up. And costs are minimal. The district certainly has budget to cover both of these. We've got plenty of training now. So,
on the consent items, I have a comment. God, this $90,249.85 in monthly water and sewer fees, that's a record, huh? I think that's the most we've ever taken in.
That was, I think we said the same thing.
So that's just for water bills. That didn't include tax or anything like that. And that's... in the consent item things, which is a lot. Then I noticed... chemicals, almost 5,500, but that's the trend lately. And on the FRM report, this computer was installed as part of the original SCADA project in 2008. Staff installed a temporary laptop to run SCADA while the new computer was ordered. The new SCADA computer will be installed and the old computer will be used to back up. So we already okayed all that, didn't we?
Yes. Well, in terms of the computer, it was like $600 to buy a new computer. So,
right.
So we were down, and I just went and bought it.
Okay, good. And we still have this other one as a backup?
And we'll save the old one as a backup.
Okay.
And the new one, so we ran on the laptop for about 5 days, and then right after 4th of July... I think that Wednesday they installed the new Dell.
So the SCADA sent out an alarm that the SCADA computer was offline.
Actually, no. It went to sleep, and our secondary alarm said,
"Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm not feeling well."
Right.
Which got everybody's attention.
And then, you know what? I noticed that in January and February, we really treated a lot of effluent. Then in March, in April, and May, and June, kind of went down with the other 2 years. This is this year. So you can compare it to the other 2 years. Then if you look down at monthly, same thing. We were treating a lot of sewer in January and February. That's probably the rain. And then the port monthly flow was also strong in January, February, March. April, it really jumped up. Then it went down. But the good news is this BOD. Did you see how far down the BOD was in January and February? In March, even though it went over the red line, it was still way down from historically. What do you think, Karina? This BOD is going down, huh? Compared to the past.
Yeah, I mean, Brad can talk to you more about the science of it, but I mean, if you have more clear water coming in.
Right. Exactly. That makes it less strong. So that's probably why January and February.
Yeah, you're in, yeah. So
in March, we didn't have much rain. But we're still, the BOD is still going all the way through to June, is considerably lower than the 2 years previous, which seems to me to be good news. And the purchased water from Lopez in June, we purchased more water than the last 2 years. Maybe that's why our water sales were so far up. Monthly water sold. Yeah, see, in June we sold more water than the previous 2 year months living up to that. So, I don't know. That's how I interpret it. Yeah, it could be. Which is good news. So that's the only... one more question on this Lopez Lake storage projection. Brad?
Yes, sir.
I thought that... Is that yellow unbroken line? I found that kind of hard to read.
So that's the top kind of yellowish-greenish line, unbroken, is the actual storage. And then they show that orangish dashed line to illustrate the storage without carryover. So the difference between those two lines, that water has somebody's name on it already.
Ours, so too, speak. Right?
Yeah, we have some in that carryover pot.
Okay.
So that's what they're trying to illustrate with this. This is a county-generated...
In that... 60% isn't really that exciting, you know what I mean?
No.
Don't you guys think that being that all the other lakes have 85, 90, and we're at 60?
Isn't that something to do with the bottom of the lake is drier at Lopez or something?
I thought it was just didn't get as much...
What's that about Lopez?
The drainage is a much smaller drainage area than the other ones. So... Anyway, that's all I have to comment on the consent items. Does anybody else have any comments on the consent items?
I do.
Okay, Lynn?
This is for FRM. On your report, there's a funny statement here. It says the state is requiring an additional round of lead and copper sampling due to a pH adjustment at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. Staff prepared bottles and letters, and they will be passed out to residents this coming month.
Yeah, so I think, Brad, you guys were under 3 years for lead copper?
Yes.
So state requires you to sample for lead copper if you have... Well, I guess I need to calculate. You have to sample for lead copper every 3 years. But there was something that went on with Lopez that I believe Alan got the letter saying, hey, due to this issue, the state's requiring another round of testing. And we already have a
lead
copper site picked, so it'll just go back out to residents who
elected
to do the sampling.
Oh, so it's not, it sounds like it was all residents.
No.
So it's only certain people.
It's certain, yeah. Do you guys have 10 or 20 sites?
Not 20, I think more like 10.
Oh. Now, does that have to do with older plumbing?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the potential is there.
If you have a really old house, they might have used lead pipes.
And lead solder, you know, when they put the copper pipes together. So that's the premise of it. And they sample, when we do the, ask the residents to do the sample, you ask them to take the first water out of the faucet, which is not typical.
Can we volunteer to sample?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who the 10 are, but once you find, working in other systems, once you find people that are willing to do it and they're reliable, then you usually stick with them, so.
And now the county, what do we call them, that water district that we're part of is CSA 13?
Zone 3.
Zone 3.
CSA 12.
So the county has these problems at Lopez Lake, where we get some of our water from. But then it's us, up to us to remedy the situation? Or it's just a caution?
It's not. We're not remedying it. They instituted a new pH control system, and this really came about when the lake was very low and the pH started to increase. They built a pH suppression system, and when they had to tell the state, whenever you do that, you tell the state that you're modifying your treatment plant. And the state said, well, if you're going to be dumping acid in your system, we want you to take another lead and copper sample. And of course, lead and copper, that was a Flint, Michigan issue. And so that's why they're being very, very careful with it.
I didn't know that we did it. Just there were random or certain homes in the community there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think there was a lead and copper problem before Flint, Michigan. That's just the latest total blunder. Hope our water's not to be compared with Flint, Michigan.
Please.
So, any more comments on the consent items? Hearing none, do I have a motion to accept the consent items?
I move we can adopt the consent items.
Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor? Oh, we have to have a roll call. That got Mike.
Yep. Director Elenius?
Yes.
Director Deweese?
Yes.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Barry?
Yes.
President Kelly?
Yes. All right, moving on to the business items. I believe the first one is awarding the contract to Bro, right?
Bruff.
Why don't you pronounce that Bro?
So
we
put together a, kind of a set of plans and specs, fairly abbreviated, so as to really try to keep the cost down for the project. Advertised those, circulated the project to a couple of different plan check rooms, they call them, where the contractors look for work, projects coming down the pipe. And we were concerned that this is a relatively small project. The engineer's estimate was $70,000, that we may have trouble getting firms to bid on it. So there was a few phone calls made to see, you know, if there was an interest to the folks that have done work in the district and others that we know of in the area, and the engineers know in the area, etc. But we were happy we got two bids, one from Bruff Construction, and the other was from J.J.G. Leon Construction, who I'd never worked with before. And so we opened bids a little bit after 2 p.m. on June 15th, and Bruff Construction was the apparent low bidder. We've since reviewed their proposal package, and it checked out as far as all the components of it. And staff's recommendation is we award that contract to Bruff Construction. And fortunately, they have a window right now that they can get to this job. So he's actually already done a job walk. I think, Pete, you walked by when we were out on the corner of San Luis and Laurel. That Bruff Construction was in on that as well. So that conversation anyway.
Geez, what did J.J. Leon decide to shoot the moon?
I guess so.
I mean,
what was there in there? Was there different services?
No, they all were bidding on the same packet.
So it's kind of a sucker born a minute. You know, we don't want to do it, but if they'll pay us $152,000, then we'd bother to do it.
You think they didn't try meetings?
No, I just think they were shooting the moon. Anyway, this is great. It comes in under budget. Now, you know, this is going to replace our main water valves, right?
In four areas.
In four areas.
Correct.
That's a good thing.
Oh, really good. We can get that upper end of town to shut off.
Right. Which reminds me, I'm sorry, but in the FRM bill, was that when we did all that work on San Luis Street Parkway, when we had the leak on the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
That's all delineated in there? I was looking for that, then I forgot about it.
I think it's going to be in next month.
Is it going to be? Do you know what I'm talking about, Karina? It's going to be in next month. Huh?
The 1 hour day on Sunday?
Yeah, yeah. I was really thinking about not reporting it because I knew it was a Sunday. But I reported anyway. Was that a mistake? We won't know till the bill comes in.
Oh, I've seen the bill.
Right. Okay. So it was a mistake. Next time I see a leak on the weekend that's even 80 gallons per minute or 200 like that case.
Well, let's just make sure it's not sewage work.
Yeah, well, I made sure of that. Huh? Oh, no. No, I walked by, Eric heard it, walked by and it's like, God, I hear a waterfall somewhere, or I hear a fast running stream. But you had to move the cover off to see it. And I don't know, I thought to myself, God, it's Sunday. But just one of those executive decisions you have to make.
We look for it on Friday.
Oh, you looked for it on Friday?
Yes, there was trying. There were a couple reports about it.
We couldn't.
It must have gotten worse by the time by Sunday
there
came
on,
which is probably a good sign. It could have gotten much worse overnight.
But in that case, the leak was above those apartments.
Right.
Yeah, those lower apartments.
Yeah, because you couldn't see. I couldn't tell where the water was going. I think it ran under our garden. I think we have an underwater. No, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Huh? It's always, I mean, for something that's not watered, it's really green. And, you know, you walk by it, it's the greenest garden, probably the only garden. Well, no.
That is
a good garden. Anyway, so, okay. But now that'll be under control. We at least will be able to find where to turn it off.
We can isolate the valves.
Because it took a long time to turn it off.
Yeah.
Okay, well, progress. All right, so I'd like to make a motion that we accept this. I disagree with the pronunciation. I think it's Gaelic and you pronounce it bro.
Bro, okay.
Like a drought of beer, that's D-A-R-O-U-G-H-T. Right? Or an Irish brogue?
We have a second.
Can we just talk about some more? I think we should go on the pronunciation.
Okay, we got a second from Hera Parsigian.
President Kelly?
Yes.
Director Najarian?
Yes. Wait a minute, you haven't had any discussion.
You're right.
You want to discuss it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I want to know what you're going to do about the people who aren't going to have water for however long.
Nobody is going to be without water, and if they are, they'll be notified immediately, and this is going to prevent them from being out of water for a long time in the future.
When you're replacing valves, ordinarily you have to cut off the source of water where that valve is. And that means that for some length of time, somebody's going to be out of water. And I just want to know, are those folks going to be notified?
Absolutely. We'll give 72 hours notice.
Okay.
It's in the contract documents that they will be responsible for doing that and will help out in terms of letting people know. Ideally, it'll be no more than 3 hours when the water will be off.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann, for bringing that up. Okay, we voted and it's passed, and now we're moving on to the next thing, right?
We have to vote.
Wait a minute.
We have to.
Didn't I make the motion? And what
motion,
second?
Motion and second. Public comment.
I think the point
Brad
okay, yes. So I make the motion we accept the Brogue contract.
And again, I'll relapse on the second.
Can we have a roll call?
Yes, sir. President Kelly?
Yeah.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director DeWeese?
Yes.
Director Barry?
Yes.
Vice President
Eleni? Yes, thank yes, you. Yes.
Okay.
Confirm relocation of district offices and associated lease agreements.
So this is really just a follow-up from last month's, I think, decision that was made. I sent letters to both of the lessee and the lessor involved in this. And I think this is at an abundance of caution. We didn't really public notice it last time on the agenda that the board may take action. So this is really just a formality to allow, again, public comment on it. Both parties, and in particular, I'm not sure what Wisdom is, steps they're taking. They are looking for a new digs in San Luis Obispo, is my understanding. And the Avalon Beach Civic Association has been in earnest conversations with the post office, who is interested in taking over our space. And so maybe that'll all work out great all the way around. So.
Okay, so anybody have any comments on this confirmation of relocation?
It is, you assume that the cost of, I don't know what you would call it, fixing up the whole fire station to be not more than $5,000, is that right?
Yeah, okay. I think that would.
Now, I did notice walking down here that the roof looks kind of shabby. You looked at the roof. I don't know if that, I'm sure that we would have had to pay for it anyway. Pretty old roof, but that would have been in our budget.
So. Something to think about, though, huh?
Yeah.
Because I have not looked at it.
It's one of those old roofs with little rocks on it.
Right.
It looks like it's patched partway. Just walk, it's right. So it won't be major stuff, then, that we have to do to move in.
No, the offices are set up. The internet and all the connectivity is there because that's what they were using, so there won't be much there. Haven't really gone in and focused on, you know, how to, but it's pretty well set up for an office kind of a space. The paint's good. I mean, the facilities committee.
Good condition.
So we're just confirming this. What action should we take? None?
Did Mary or Mike left, or did they want to come and speak to us or anything like that? That was, they just accepted the.
Yeah, I sent these letters in, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? Yeah, June 22nd, 23rd.
Yeah, they were.
It's
good.
We'll be moving ahead.
All right. Yeah, you've already voted on this. I'm not sure that you need to vote again.
Okay.
And there's, I guess, at the last point, there's a possibility that if Wisdom can find a place earlier than the end of the year, and the association, is their letter to them, I asked them if we could go month to month. They're working with the post office. Post office hasn't made a decision yet, but there may be where things free up November 30th instead of December 31st. So, I mean, we're just going to play that by ear and try to be, you know, just courteous to each one.
Right.
They'll have a month's worth of tenant improvements today, the post office, that they're going to take over down there, the way they're talking anyway. And I think we'll have maybe a week to get set up once we say we're going to go.
All right.
So what's the final action referred to in this letter? The board of directors take final action to respect the leases.
Yeah, I think it was this confirmation. So, I mean, whether we need to
vote.
Well, you voted to provide notice and to follow this path. It's on now, I guess, because the letter indicates that there's going to be some further action by the board to confirm it. Do you want to pass a motion basically confirming that we are moving to the fire station and that we've given notice? We can do that, but I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think, looking back at the minutes, and this was maybe one of our issues at the time, is the board directed staff to send the letters, didn't actually vote.
Okay.
At the last meeting, so maybe we should.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we confirm our move back to the fire department?
I'll second.
Roll call.
President Kelly.
Yes.
Director Deweese.
Yes.
Director Najarian.
Yes.
Director Barry.
Yes.
Vice President Lennies.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're going on to weed abatement.
CSD. We've been leasing it out since the fire department left. Yeah, so it actually belongs to us, to the community.
This next item is a public hearing on the weed abatement. So you just open and close the public hearing and then bring it back to the board to adopt the resolution.
Okay, I'm going to open the public hearing on weed abatement. Does anybody have any comments on weed abatement?
On a question.
Sure, fire away.
Have those who have not done their weed abatement been notified? At what stage are we in the process?
Their property was posted.
Okay, when was the due date?
Did you see this map, Ann?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's kind of funny if you look over it. It's always the same spots.
6/14, they were notified and posted, and then a letter was sent immediately following. And then they inspected tonight to give us a little preliminary. The fire chief inspected tonight for the meeting, and there's only two places, I think.
He had two that had not.
Oh, out of all these, only two had not?
Yes.
Right.
And which ones were those? Can I guess?
Yes.
San Rafael Street, below where Marshall Ellis used to live, which is, I hear, owned by Rossi, but it is a conservation.
It's owned by the Land Conservancy.
Oh, it is? Okay. And then the Avila School.
School, there is a piece there that needs to get done along the.
So those are the two?
And then down here on the end of Colony Drive, Rossi again. And the county, I guess, or whoever owns that other piece at the entry of Colony Drive.
The county, I think.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking too.
And Cal Fire is working with the county to get that cleaned up, I guess. Just that they would.
And who would you notify in terms of the schoolhouse? The school
Hodge.
Would have to be notified.
The school district or Hodge?
Or both.
Yeah?
Yeah. I usually do both. No. Because I think we have the same issue last year.
Yeah.
You'd
think, huh? Okay. So our action taken is, let's close the public hearing on this.
Right.
And then we received the report after considering the objections. I move that we adopt resolution 2017-07.
Pete, there was no exhibit attached to this. I think you received that in your staff report, and just indicate that those two parcels will be the only ones listed on the resolution.
So there's only two parcels left.
Right.
Listed on the resolution that have to be cleaned up.
Correct.
And that's part of the motion?
Yes, because right now there is no exhibit at all.
Okay.
I thought we mentioned three. San Rafael, the schoolhouse, and the county.
The fire department says that they're working with the county to get that done, so we don't.
So I don't move to adopt this resolution?
Yes, if you move to adopt the resolution, but it only concerns two parcels, and that's the one that staff discussed with you.
Okay. I move that we adopt the resolution 2017-07, and only two parcels remain in this resolution, period.
Period.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
President Kelly?
Yes.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Deweese?
Yes.
Director Barry?
Yes.
Vice President Hellenius?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So SDRMA Board of Directors election, is that the next item?
Yes, sir.
You know, I went and read all of these, and I think we should go with Unruh, Schaefer, Aranda, and Bracey.
Is it a secret ballot?
No.
Can we discuss it?
We discussed it. Do you want to know why?
I'm really curious.
Graveyard districts get a minus unless the graveyard district director seems really good. Well, how tough is it running a graveyard district compared to water and sewer?
No, I don't know, but I imagine there's issues 60 feet.
A lawnmower and watering, anyway. So, I don't know that, but I, you know, it's all guesswork. This David Aranda of Mountain Meadows Community Service District, he applied for our job. That's up there in Tehachapi, I believe. He has a lot of experience. The Schaefer is really good. Costa Mesa Sanitary District. And this Bracey was really good. The other ones didn't put down much and were the kind that just put down that it should be run, the SDRMA should be run like a business. I hear that all my life. You know, let's run it like a business. And that to me is a red flag. He also has an insurance agency, so.
I didn't vote for him because I thought it was inappropriate to bring up politics.
Yeah, that's the same, me too.
So I felt, and it's so difficult to vote for something like this when you don't have a clue who these people are.
But you're right, because all these offices are supposed to be non-denominational or whatever you call it, you know what I mean?
So I didn't vote for you.
Yeah.
But Brad, do you have any recommendation? Do you know these people personally?
I do not. No. And I've never, well, no. I've never worked with any of them. Aranda I've heard of just because he's the incumbent, I suppose.
There's two incumbents that I was for, Bracey and Aranda, because I think they've been doing a good job. Our insurance costs and stuff come down. Then this Unruh, he's Kern County, and he's really got a lot of experience. He's also a volunteer at his local historical society. And also, his name is just like Big Daddy Jesse Unruh. Am I aging you all here? Who remembers Big Daddy Jesse Unruh? Yeah, but was Big Daddy Jesse Unruh from Bakersfield or from Kern County?
I don't know in the beginning.
Sacramento, yeah. Anyway, that's why I like Unruh. This next guy, Hamlin, he was the one that said, let's run like a business and put one line on his application. Karen was too political. Aranda printed his out in script, what do you call it, Kurt? What do you call that? Cursor? That's disappearing quick. So you gotta, you know, people under 40 don't know cursor.
So. How big is this federal district?
It's for the whole state of California to be on the board of the Association of Special Districts.
Are they paid?
No, I don't think they're paid. They might be paid a stipend for going to the meetings, but in general, I don't think they're paid.
The Special District Risk Management Authority is our insurance agency, essentially, for Special District. It's a shared pool of insurance, and we are part of that. That's why this district can vote on it. And it said you can vote for no more than four, so if there was three that everybody concurred on, I think we could adopt the resolution with just three or just no more than four.
So what are we going to do? Help me.
So, look who raised your name and see who raises their hand. Get a count.
Okay. Are you going to keep track?
I will.
Okay. Christy's got it. Who wants Timothy Unruh?
I do.
Okay.
I'm not going to vote because I
okay. Yes.
You know.
No problem.
Okay. James M. Hamlin. Okay. Mike Schaefer. So, Michael J. Caring.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes. Christy, I'm sorry.
Which was she voting yes on? Schaefer, right? Okay, so Michael J. Caring. David Aranda.
I'll vote yes on David.
Cindy Boudet. Okay. Jean Bracey.
I vote Jean.
Okay.
What are we good on?
So we've got four. Myra, Schaefer, Aranda, and Bracey.
Yep.
You won't let Mr. Aranda know that he wasn't unanimous.
So we just need to put that in the form of a motion, and then we adopt the resolution, and this will be the attachment to the resolution.
You're kidding.
You know we have to have a roll call.
Review candidate qualifications, adopt resolution. Okay. So, the stated candidates, there's not even a number on the resolution. I move we adopt a resolution stating our four candidates that we elected.
Which were Unruh, Schaefer, Aranda, and Bracey.
Yes.
That's what's on the table, I guess, as the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Roll call.
President Kelly.
Yes.
Director DeWeese.
Yes.
Director Najarian.
Yes.
Director Barry.
Yes.
Vice President Hellenius.
Yes.
Okay. Excellente. Thank you.
Now this next one, renewal of the district's NPDES wastewater treatment plant discharge permit. This seemed complicated to me after reading it.
Well, this came totally out of the blue. We've known that the permit was issued in 2009, and it expired technically after 5 years, so that would have been 2014. The district submitted their application for renewal 6 months ahead of when it was going to expire, and the water board just automatically administratively extends the permit until they get around to it, reissuing it. And my understanding, based on what I'm hearing from other CSDs that have NPDES permits, is the US EPA, who funds the water board, said, hey, you guys are woefully behind on getting your permits renewed, like 2 years behind. Get with it. And so the water board turned the handle and spit out at least two and maybe three permits over the course of a relatively short time, and schedule them for consideration by the water board at their September board meeting, which is going to be down at Santa Barbara. So we've been in the process of reviewing the draft permit, comparing it to the existing permit, and I think the good news for the district is that we anticipated that they might lower the limits, might lower our effluent permit limits from 40-40 for BOD and suspended solids to 30-30, and that was what was precipitating the discussion about upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant in the more immediate term. They did not do that in this draft permit. They have added a few things, taken away a few things. They added copper and zinc, and they took out a couple other things. I didn't bring the details, but Anyway, it looks pretty favorable, actually, for the district to get another permit that's essentially similar to the one that we have. And we've been consistently meeting our permit limits.
And this is the ocean discharge.
Ocean discharge, right.
Now, are they recommending that the Regional Water Quality Control Board okay this?
Well, when they put out a draft, that's usually staff's, water board staff to the regional board.
Okay.
The regional board similar
so to the staff's all. Recommending it.
Yeah, the numbers and the conditions that are in the draft permit, which again, there's a few things I want to comment on. One of the bigger ones that the port had talked about was they want to get their names off of the permit as an owner, which I think is appropriate because they're not an owner. The existing permit has them in there, or not an owner, but as a discharger.
And we're responsible
but
their
we're
discharge,
responsible for
right?
That. So we'll be the sole, you know, discharger. Any, you know, violations, fines, penalties, whatever, it doesn't go to the port. The port may end up paying some of it, but they're not on the hook for that. So that'll be a one comment that I'll be making. I was just compiling some stuff this afternoon as far as comments goes. They're due to the water board staff by July 21st, and then they'll take a couple of months apparently to review it, and then I will likely go down to Santa Barbara to be there in case there's questions by their board, by the water board, on the permit renewal.
And see these people CC'd on this email, and they list one as Santa Cruz County, then nobody else is listed where they're from. Is this like, why are they copying these people?
Why would they copy John Ricker at Santa Cruz County? I think that's a mistake. Dave Smith, I can understand. He works for US EPA. James Marincola, US EPA. Katie DeSimone is our permit writer. I don't know who Jessica Jar is, or Yar.
She's our lawyer.
Oh, okay. And then to us. Oh, they copied Kathy's old email at AOL.com. That's kind of funny. So, yeah, Ricker, that must have been a mistake. And again, I think they hastily cranked these permits and put them out because they had a fire under them. The staff did.
Well, I can make the comment that if we made a mistake, the Regional Water Quality Control Board would cost us $100,000. They make a mistake and it's just, we made a mistake. Okay, enough of the editorializing.
So I wanted to just let you all know that this was, you know, kind of came no phone call, no nothing. It just showed up in my email box to say, hey, here's your permit. And oh, by the way, you have 2 days to get the public notice in the paper, which I thought was sort of.
But you said, hey, here's your permit, so they gave us our permit.
No, part of this June 16th letter said that the district needed to publish in the newspaper a public notice, which is attached here.
And you published that?
I did publish it, but the paper, I was right up against the deadline for the paper, because they usually need stuff a few days ahead of time. And they wanted it in the paper by June 21st, and I got this on June 16th, which I think was a Friday. But we were able to get it in the paper on Wednesday, the 21st. And whether that was within the 22nd, if that would have been a big deal, I kind of doubt. But it's maybe back to your point of we can give you a short time, but we get a longer time. So.
Okay, well, and I guess we just received the report and that was the only action. Ann, do you have any comment on that?
Well, I have a question, but I mean, it has to be in a circulated newspaper. Is that the Trib or is that the New Times? Or?
Could be either. We chose to go with the Trib. No, it actually ran on June 21st.
It'll be run on the date that actually turns out to be the deadline?
The public notice, yeah, we're getting confused. They wanted the public notice printed that's in the agenda packet by June 21st that announced that the permit was going to be renewed and considered by the regional board out on September 21st.
Oh, I think it was September.
Yeah. So it's kind of, well, it is what it is. They gave us a short amount of time to do it. And it's part of the legal requirements for permit renewals, federal.
Do you have to have a public hearing then once it's announced?
They do. We don't.
Oh, the announcement then is that the water quality control board is doing whatever on the 21st
right. Correct, yeah. And they require the dischargers to pay for that, as opposed to when we do a public hearing, we publish it ourselves and pay for it. They tell us to do their public notice for them.
So you have the bill for the ad?
Yep.
Santa Barbara County offices.
So you're not anticipating any change in our waste discharge requirements? You think it's going to stay the same as what we have right now?
95% the same. Some subtleties.
Because I remember a couple of years ago that was kind of the big push to put in the upgrades to the sewer treatment plant because of this. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so we kind of had that on hold, right? Because we were looking at our recycled water and a bunch of other different things. So now if this is going to stay the same, then we really won't need to do the upgrades to the plant because we will be in compliance. Am I reading this right?
Well, I wouldn't probably go as far as the last statement. I think we probably still will need to do, and we'll get the recycled water draft report probably at the August meeting, which will then give us looking at some options. If we're going to recycle the water, then we will need to do the upgrades as well. But if for some reason we get through that process and we say we're not going to recycle water, doesn't make sense for us, and we want to kind of remain status quo, and our limits are 40-40, which, as you saw in the graphs, we've been very much in that low to mid-30s as our averages, so we're meeting our limits, but we don't have much margin for error. So there is still, but you can imagine if we did go to 30-30, then we would need to get our numbers down to, comfort level in 20 to 25.
So on the scuttlebutt with CSD people or with Water Guard or whatever, they aren't going to require us to do any more. It looks like we're probably going to stay the same with our discharge.
Not during this permit cycle.
And that this permit cycle is for how long?
5 years.
Okay. Because that affects our budget, right?
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's great news.
Yes. No, it was really good news. Bought us some time, I think.
Yeah, just one caution. If we do spill and we don't have a plan for upgrades, that's a viable plan for upgrades, you'll get penalized for that. So even though we might not have to do it, it's something that we should be looking at and have that at least in the plan stage if we do spill. Because if we do, they tend to fine heavily based upon the amount of the spill, and one of the aggregating factors is whether or not you've done anything in regards to upgrading your plant to avoid these things. So I'm just cautioning you, this isn't really a four-year pass or a five-year pass. It basically means we have to continue on, maybe not as aggressively, but we still have to continue on and get things into planning stage.
Right.
Well, Kennedy Jinx, will that suffice? Part of the Kennedy Jinx report that we invested in to give us this.
It's going to be more bricks and mortar stuff than that.
But we're moving in those directions all the time.
And the recycled water will be good? That will help us?
Oh, that would be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if we see some things there and want to start in the planning stages for that, I mean, I'm hopeful that maybe we've got something there that we look at and say, let's
so we're not under as much pressure, but we should always think about having a plan for improving the plant.
Yeah.
In horror of horrors, if they came back and said it was 30, I guess we just don't want to think about it right now.
Well, no, we'd be able to handle that.
I mean, they would give us some time to get there, but we'd have a firm deadline as opposed to...
Okay, thank you.
So I also think that we should, or maybe we did, but I'm aware, we should have a plan about having, if there's a spill...
Oh. Flex color your jacket.
There's plans if there's a spill. Yeah. Good grain.
I guess in the context of, what Frank said about,
You mean like
emergency
response? There's those plans. But yeah, we're constantly looking at how can we improve stuff within the system to make it better, and how does that work in your budget? And it's part of our monthly formation.
So, in terms of what you were saying about if there's a spill,
Yep.
Keep us from like saying, oh, they're completely unprepared. We actually were prepared because we have.
We're trying to improve.
Right. It used to be almost 10 cents per 100 gallons of water. Now it's 10 bucks per 100 gallons of water. And it goes up radically. And they have factors in aggravation and factors in mitigation. One of the factors in aggravation is whether you have a plan that's in place to improve your plant so that this would technically probably not occur again. So that's what they're looking at. And if you have that, it's a factor in mitigation. If you don't have it, it's a factor in aggravation. So you pay more and you pay less.
So what kind of direction? We see you provide direction and stuff. What are the direction options?
Well,
because it sounds like we're really receiving this kind of status.
Well, he basically gave you a report regarding the permit, and that 95% of it's the same, and it's 40-40, which is good. I can tell you that the board hasn't always followed the staff recommendation, and so that's the nervous part about it. There is a movement along the coast to eliminate all ocean outfall. They have not talked about that here, and I think there was awareness about that plenty of times before this. That's what they're expecting us to do, but there's going to be that kind of sentiment that's going to be expressed at that meeting.
At the board level, and I think the fact that the district has embarked doing a half-funded, the grant we got from the state board to do the recycled water study, it's a great response that to tell the water board is, yes, Avila is being proactive. We're even working with our neighbors at any potential regional solutions. That's the kind of things they like to hear, and that's why the state board funded that half of that project. So I think we'll be in good shape in response to, kind of what are you doing in terms of planning.
So we received the report. In other words, we do what you did and ask questions till we pretty much understand what's going on. And then we provide direction to staff, which is continue on. And give them all they need.
I'll prepare a letter to them commenting on the permit. Again, I don't see it to be extensive, but there are a few things, some inconsistencies. FRM staff have taken a look at it and pointed out a few things, but it won't be a lengthy letter. And again, the 40-40 is really what's most important, and that's staying the same.
All right. I think we're on our last item, which is request for consideration of time change of regular board meetings. I read this and I saw that the CSDs in the county meet at different times. I'm kind of, since I've been coming to these meetings on the second Tuesday for 18 years, my schedule's kind of built around that. You know, Tuesday and Thursday mornings, I'm going to be busy forever. Mondays, twice a month, I go to a meeting. Thursdays, we have our AVAC subcommittee meetings during the day.
Wednesday.
Oh, it's on Wednesdays? We have Wednesdays. So that means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are out. Friday, Fridays when people go out of town. I personally would like to keep it the way it is, and maybe we could discuss it again once we move into the fire station. Other board members, what do you think?
Well, I think that, obviously I don't have your great experience, but I think that it's lovely to have Aaron, but we don't get public that comes, and I think it'd be good for us to have more public. So we know they're not really coming in the evenings. It's the experience bears that out. In terms of applications, when we have turnover board members, we have people like me. We have people get appointed, people are opposed. We don't have much participation. So I think those are things to consider, particularly if who we're even constituency that we serve. Secondarily, I think that for some of us, it actually is easier during the day than the evenings. If it's like at lunchtime, because if we can build that into our regular schedule as and not have conflicts. I wouldn't have brought up if I didn't miss, but I think I missed two meetings because of the conflicts that come up that have to be in the evening. So I wanted the board to consider this. I expect that it would be easier on the staff as well. I'm not sure where everyone on the board might stand with this, but I think that it's worthy of discussion, and I would be for it, obviously.
Comments from the other board members? I'll go along with any consensus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be for what, the earlier time on Tuesday, or?
It's not a day of the week to me, but I'd like to see it be somewhere around lunchtime, once a month, sometime around the day.
And?
Did you want comments from others?
Well, you can comment, and then they're still thinking.
Well, I don't know what's being proposed.
And nothing's being proposed. Ara wants to change it to the day around lunchtime, which a lot of times it'll go longer than lunchtime. Yeah, see, that's not going to make people. It's issues that's the reason they're coming in. You see what I mean?
I mean, I could see changing it to 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, but not daytime, because it's just not going to increase the participation. I mean, people have to have an interest, or there's got to be...
Right, there's got to be an issue if they won't show up, right.
It's going to affect their pocketbooks.
We've not had meetings during the day for how many years? I think there's an absence of evidence of this. I mean, I'm not saying that anybody's wrong. I'm just saying that, yeah, it's not compelling stuff, I agree with that, but if it's not compelling and it's not convenient, and we've never tried it before, I'm just saying that this, and then, if it's going to be potentially more convenient, then why not?
Now, how come you're busy at night and not during the day?
that's not true. I am busy during the day. I'm also busy at night. But I prefer to build in a schedule where if I have a commitment, I can build a time during the day. And then, rather than I've worked all day and I've got this on top of it with night and it may conflict with other commitments. Today, for example, I came back from Los Angeles. I came back specifically for this meeting. You know, and so if it had been scheduled for a day meeting, I probably would have made different plans altogether, so it could have been the day. See what I'm saying? It's a way to schedule for me that I think would be, and I'm not saying anyone has to deal with my schedule, but for me it would be better organized for what I do. I don't know about staff. Staff probably does their day work. They go home. They come back.
We serve at the pleasure of the board. If you want to meet at midnight, we're in. What? See how you bail on me just like that.
I have to at lunchtime, it's fine with me, but I would want to, if it didn't work, be able to change it back. But legally, you don't have to post it, change our bylaws.
We have to change your bylaws in order to do that, but that's not a difficult thing to do. I can tell you, based upon my experience at Napomo, that went from night meetings to day meetings. It went from a 7 o'clock start to a 9 a.m. start. There's very rarely people that attend the day meetings. There were a bunch of people who attended the night meetings there. So it would be unusual for us to expect more participation at a day meeting.
I would say that we don't have a bunch of people at night meetings.
Right.
So, I mean, in the absence of one night, to me it's just, okay, well, it's another community. I'm not saying it'll happen that way, but let's give our people a chance. They can disappoint us. We can go back tonight. You know, but why not fold the balloon?
And our staff does come from a distance.
I personally like it the way it is, but like I said, I'll go with any consensus. Okay. Eric?
Why is it meeting times in the bylaws?
Yes. A day.
Is that usual?
No, you usually say that you meet at the first, the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. It's just so somebody has a place to look at it and say, yeah, that's when they meet.
And
well, if you're interested in finding out what your ratepayers say, why don't you put a survey in the next bill and give two possibilities, maybe.
Are there classes here during the day?
Huh? And see what they, if anybody even responds,
right, well, I mean.
Or if there's some feeling that the daytime would be better.
Aren't there classes scheduled in this room during the day?
Depends on the day.
Okay. Right.
But you don't have to worry about that now because you're going to be here around.
Yeah, okay, so I make the motion we shelve this conversation till we move over to the fire station. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor till shelving this until we move over to the fire station?
Pete, we have to do a roll call.
Oh, a roll call. Brad?
Well, I'm just wondering if we can vote on a motion, right?
Yeah.
Even though we didn't put it in terms of...
So
we have a motion to shelve it until we move over
to the fire station,
and then bring it back around on the guitar in January, or February if we move over. Is that the motion?
Right. And okay. And Eric seconded. But the reason why I say that is because then we're going to have to deal with our daytime schedules, which, like I said, I have a lot. Then we got to deal with the Civic Association schedule on when they have their classes. Okay. So therefore, if it doesn't really matter to you, it'd just be more convenient to have it during the day. Well, let's discuss it when we get a place where we can have it during the day. So that's my rationale.
Yeah, I get you. I just think that from my standpoint, I don't think it's going to be... Obviously, live right there. I know this place is empty most of the time of the day. I get what you're saying. I just don't think there's a need to show it. I think maybe think about it, but wait until... I don't think the fire station has a bearing on it, really.
Well, the bearing on it is the fire station won't be rented out during the day to classes and such.
Right, but I don't think there's going to be any hard issues about that because this place is empty most of the time.
So we have a motion.
So there's a motion and a second. All for...
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Deweese, President Kelly. Director Deweese?
Yes.
Director Najarian?
No.
Okay. Director Barry?
Yes.
Vice President Hellenius?
Yes.
Okay, so
passes 4-1.
That's it. We're done, I think, aren't we?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Pete, I was going to make a funny comment about your shoes, but I guess what I really want to know is where to get
them. I got them online. I got them from Facebook.
Facebook?
Really.
Yeah. They advertise on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was. Everybody asked me about
them. I'll get her to send
them.
I just got them because they're comfortable. I can get them on easily. And they're real. And I can walk in. And, but the other thing, you know,
since we got Pete here, we can get him to send
them.
Okay.
Hey, have we heard any more about old granddad, about Cal Fire wanting us to take it over again?
Oh, when Jason came by.
If I can get you two while we're talking to the sign, we'll do it on fancy paper then.
You can have one if you want it. But I just made the pen and ink change on there.
Oh, okay.
It is, you know, parked over there.
Right.
And Jason Cohen, or Cone, I think, C-O-H-N, he's the fire captain.
Yeah.
He said, you know, what's the possibilities of that? Well, let's get Pete to sign.
Hey, you know what?
Is this my copy?
Well, I think I have to sign. Brad has to sign it, and I have to sign it, I think.
Right. And then I'll send one in.
Left-handed.
Uh-huh. Are you left-handed? I'm left-handed.
Taught for 30 years and taught them all how to be left-handed.
My wife.
They're all left-handed by the time they left third grade.
I'm half as coordinated as each hand.
We'll give to sign those resumes as well.
Number one.
She's mine.
You know what? You know what I think we need to do, Brad?
Sir.
I think we need to have them give us a bumper-to-bumper measurement and then measure it over there.
Yeah.
Because I think that, what was his name? Seamus? Or,
oh, yeah.
What was the name?
The Plural Productions guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put in a wall there. In other words, I think the fire truck bay used to be longer. I'm pretty sure now it would fit in there.
If did,
but if we had the measurement bumper to bumper, we could see if it would fit in there.
Well, and we don't have the doors anymore. We have to.
There's no door.
Oh, the doors come up and down.
Not anymore.
No.
They pulled those out.
The interior, like barriers, but not the glass.
They put permanent glass in there. So we would, that would be an expensive change, probably.
Yeah, well, then we couldn't get the fire truck inside.
No.
Of course, it's outside right now.
Is it outside or inside?
I'm not sure.
I thought it was inside.
Oh, so those doors don't roll up.
They got rid of the roll-ups.
Seamus did.
And put glass in.
So, Kristen, you're going to get a lid. And Christy are working on a manual to kind of clue you into what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I have a binder for you as well. Oh, okay.
I have a place to park it. Get it there in a day.
That's so
the only thing I'm worried about.
I'm there on the very beginning. June noontime. They know actually where am I going to park it. Get really interesting. Ride my bike.
Leave it at the bottom of the scale so somebody can break into it.
There you go.
Right there.
You're going to get it. I have my recycle bag. I go through the stuff from last month, put it in the recycle bag, and then insert that, right? So therefore, once you get it in the binder, then it makes it easier to look at. You see what I mean?
And we can get you a binder.
And if you have any questions, let me know. You know, because there's certain issues that have been going on.
There wouldn't have to wait on the left.
And yeah.
They do, because I thought, well, why are they going to attack that?
I know you've been here a long time. You've been here longer than me.
Yeah, well,
I first went to work in that overlord in 73.
So every time
and
I
see Camden in the lower high area, so.
Then I pay. But I have to go into.
I live on San Luis Street Parkway. With the biggest palm tree in town and the jungle garden in front. A very, very old house.
A real house. Down
right.
Down.
Yeah, the parkway.
I know.
Yeah. And I know where you live. You live next to Barry. Yeah, right, me too. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Now, this is yours.
Okay, but you're not done yet.
No, I think you're good.
Am I done?
You're done. I'll file one. You want one of those even?
I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Well,
we can get a binder for you.
That's just the trash. I mean, they removed the trash. Are those the original windows?
Yeah.
I think they're new windows. You know, I haven't got in there and studied it, but I know what Mike was saying. He said, oh, the door's open. He's like, no, actually, they don't.
Oh, it's just the other thing. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'll think about it. It's just that I think this is yours.
So we've got some time though to kind of check that out.
Oh yeah, we should. That's what I think. Now mom's the word. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. I mean about moving the fire truck over here.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, thinks
the idea. Need to do. All we need to do is get one bay door though.
Right.
Right. And then I've thought of ways to you know my apple like thing that was right over there and how I was selling copies of it, photos. People requesting I could do that. Yeah, it's that yeah. And then the picture of it, but then also a history society people will pay to get $25 a year under their lifetime. Showing one of those Avila pictures, that's 200 more. We have a lot of money in the foundation to save those school things. Well, enough to buy computers and office supplies and stuff. So anyway, and yeah, so
could have some. Yeah, I mean, and I think it starts out a little, you know, maybe it starts out slow or whatever. That's
right. But
you know, rolling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it sounded like a fun idea, you know.
Yeah.
Careful what we ask for, but
yeah,
all that activity.
All right, I'm a jumbled mess. There we go.